Good morning, church. Hey, we're continuing our series that we've been talking about these past few weeks. We're talking today about patience. We've been going through the nine traits of true Christian character over these past few weeks. It's based on that passage found in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, where it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And today we're going to work on that character trait, patience. That's where we're at today. And boy, do we need that, right? We need that in our culture, in our generation. That might be, of all the ones that we will talk about, this one, just working on this message this week, was really challenging to my own life. And I pray today that you'll find it challenging today. Not that it'll make you feel beat up, but that you'll feel called to repentance and called to life change. That we can do that in Jesus. We don't have to keep being the impatient people that perhaps we are, but we can be changed. We can become patient. Now, when I think of patience, much as Stephen was mentioning before in that verse he read, I often think of the word waiting. I think of having to wait when I think of that word patience. And it reminds me of a story I heard about recently of a woman. She was riding down an escalator. She was going down the escalator, and she became troubled when she saw at the bottom of the escalator a little boy just standing right at the foot of the escalator with his head down. And he seemed really troubled. And the whole way down, she's going, I wonder what's wrong with this little boy. And she gets down to the bottom of the escalator, and she says, "Little boy, are you okay?" And without even looking up, he says, "Yeah, I'm just waiting for my bubble gum to come back around." And, you know, that's kind of how we're having trouble with patience. You know, we hate to wait. And I don't know if you're waiting for your bubble gum to come back around or what you're waiting for. But patience is one of the marks of being like Jesus. You see, this is the thing we're talking about, that when we follow Christ, we are born again into the family of God, and we begin to take on the family traits. Just like you perhaps talk like, look like, whatever, your parents, you have the family traits of your parents. So when you are born again in Jesus, you are to grow and become more like Him. And so that's what we're talking about today, and we're talking about patience. Now, the biblical word patience includes the idea of waiting, but it's richer than that, in fact. There's more here. The Greek word, which the New Testament is written in Greek, is the Greek word macrothumia. Macrothumia. We're probably familiar with that word macro. We know that means long or a lot, macro. It has the idea of long, and thumia has to do literally with heat. And so some translations of the Bible actually translate this word long-suffering, and they capture the word macro, long, and then thumia means to be able to suffer through the heat. The idea, long-suffering, patience is a good translation. Today you might use this and you might say it means to have a long fuse, not having a short fuse, being patient. You have a long fuse, that you're able to be slow to anger, that when you're put under pressure, under heat, you are patient, long-suffering within that. Now, how long is your fuse? Do you have a long fuse? Or does it just take a little bit to just tick you off, to just make you lose patience? It doesn't take much for some people today, and our patience is just on a fine, you know, hair trigger ready to be pulled. Now, how many of you have ever been riding in heavy traffic? And this is not a confessional. This is a theoretical, so you don't have to lift your hands. And we had Sergeant Haste, one of Wilson's finest in the first service. And as I began to tell this story, I wanted to make it clear. This is a theoretical, because he was like really eyeballing me when I was talking about this. But okay, so the interstate's 70, right? You can drive 70, but maybe, theoretically, you're driving 80. You're driving 80 miles an hour in the left lane, and you're passing cars, and then in the rearview mirror, you see this guy coming on, man, and he's like, starts flashing his lights, and he just gets right up on your bumper, and he just almost climbs in your trunk. You're like, dude, I'm going 80, and he's just like, what in the world, you know? And you finally, you know, get over, and you're like, you're just thinking, I've got my cruise control on, I'm not changing it, you know? And so, like, you finally get over, and when you get over, he guns it and passes you and then pulls in front of you in the right lane and starts putting his brakes on like that. Has that ever happened to you, something like that, theoretically? And then you feel this thing, theoretically, we're still theoretical. You feel this thing like, dude, I'm going to get you back. And you start gunning it, and this thing happens. It's called road rage. And what's going on here? What is this? What is this phenomenon about? And it's a growing problem. It's people who have short fuses. They're out there on a hair trigger. Dr. Norman Rosenthal, a psychiatrist in the Washington area and an expert on depression and anger, says that drivers who repeatedly tailgate, trying to pressure the cars in front to move faster or to get out of the way, are always sitting on their arteries. Just picture that. Just like they're... And your arteries constrict in response to stress hormones, and they spew forth from your adrenal glands, and it just changes your whole physiological response, this position you're in. He says these people live on a razor's edge, always vigilant and tense, angry because they want to get someplace quicker and they think they can somehow clear the highway by the sheer act of their will. It's hard to say whether this kind of rage is more common today, if it's always been the case, but certainly it's prevalent today. We see it in children, and we see the problems in the schools, and we see it on the highways, we see it in the jobs, we see it in our health, we see it in personal relationships. People just impatient with each other. For example, in a 25-year follow-up study at the University of North Carolina with medical students, Dr. John Barefoot, who's actually now at Duke, he found that those who scored highest in hostility on a standard personality test were nearly five times as likely to die of heart disease as their less hostile classmates. In other words, impatience will kill you physiologically. It has a physiological outcome. How long is your fuse? I asked that earlier. Do you have a long fuse? Do you have macrothumia? Are you patient? Or do you need to hear this? I need to hear this today. And so, as I always try to remind us, as a pastor, as I bring the message today, I would remind you that as I was the cook in the kitchen this week preparing it, I had to taste the soup first. And it had to do its work on me, and it's still doing its work on me. So I'm with you. I'm not above this. I am a co-struggler, recognizing I need the patience of Jesus. And I pray that you would hear this message along with me as we all sit before the Word of God today, ready to repent and change. So we're going to look at at this word patience as Paul talks about it in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. And as we look there, we can see that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus that he says, look, I want you to be able to put off your old life, like an old set of stinky clothes. I want you to be able to strip off the old life, and I want you to put on these new clothes of righteousness. These new clothes that, you know, put on love and put on joy and put on peace and put on patience like that. And he talks about how they can do that and how they can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and yield their lives to Jesus and put on this new self. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, how we might bear the mark of patience. So let's look at the text, book of Ephesians chapter 4. Don't have time to read the whole chapter, so I'm going to pick up a couple verses at the beginning, then we're going to skip down to verse 17 through 27. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And then in verse 17, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk, as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that's not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. This is God's word. Amen? So let's sit before it and hear it today and apply it to our hearts. Holy Spirit, please move in us to repentance today. We want to bear Christ's mark of patience. I want to give you four keys. And these all start with the letter B. Bearing Christ's mark of patience is about being. First of all, that's it. It's about being. You see, bearing the fruit of the Spirit is not something you do. It's something that you are to be. You are to be patient. You can't so much work at this as you must yield to the Spirit within. So you say, Holy Spirit, which you abide in me because I have received Jesus. Now I'm going to stay connected to the vine, right? We talked about this over the past few weeks. You never see an apple tree sweating. You never see an apple tree out in the orchard going and working really hard at producing an apple. No, the apple branch stays connected to the trunk, which stays connected to the roots, and the life of the apple flows out, and it produces apples. It produces fruit. How? Why? By staying connected. So being patient is not so much doing as it is yielding and allowing the life of Christ to flow in and through us so it produces patience. It's the active part. Paul says to put off the old self, put off impatience, put on new. We can do this by yielding. So I want to look at verses 1 and 2 and talk about how we might walk this out. Look at verse 1. He says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, look, you've been called to follow Jesus, so walk it out. That word walk could be translated live it out. Live it. Notice he didn't say sprint. You've been called to sprint. You've been called to run. No, he didn't say it. Notice he didn't say you've been called to look backwards. No, he didn't say that. He said you've been called to walk. And so the Christian life is a walk. You're to walk it out. And I think he says this because he wants us to be aware that patience involves being fully present in the moment that you're in right now. To be fully present. Are you able to do that? Are you able to be present in the moment? Is that something you're able to do? Or are you always running ahead thinking about what's... Like even now as I'm speaking, are you really here? Or is your mind on this afternoon? Or on tomorrow's work? Or some due date? Or something you're worried about? Are you able to be present in this moment? So are you running ahead or are you looking behind, worried about something in the past and just can't let go of it? Are you able to be patiently present in the moment that you're in right now? Being, a state of being. He says, walk this out, and then he tells you how to walk it out. He says, verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, with macrothumia, with long suffering. Right here, just be patient in the moment. Not striving. What's next? What's the destination? No, right now. Right here. Right here where we are. Just this moment. God, speak to us. I'm here. I'm listening. Your servant is listening. I'm present. My ears are activated. Remember how Jesus used to teach? He'd say, he that has ears, let him hear. What was he saying? If you're listening, I'm getting ready to say something. But only those that are present in this moment listening will hear. Only those who have spiritually receptive ears will hear. Are you present in the moment? Being patient has to do with being present. Not striving, looking for the future, not looking to the past. Psalms 37:7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. It's a matter of stillness, not striving. It's a matter of being patient. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. I think some, maybe it says 78 there. It's a misprint. It should say 7 through 8. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Be patient, like a farmer, waiting. There's a timing to things. Be patient. Don't plant the seed and then go out the next morning and dig it up to see if anything happened. Be patient. God has our future and our past anyway. For those that would sprint ahead or those who would walk backwards, keep walking. Stay true to the calling of growing up to be like Jesus. Be patient. Look what it says in Isaiah. I love this passage. But you will not leave in haste or go in flight. For the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. So here's what we say. You don't have to run away. You don't have to go in haste because he's going to go before you. He's got your tomorrow. He's already looking at what's next for you. He's got that. And not only does he have your tomorrow, your next moment, but he's your rear guard. What does that mean? That if he's your rear guard, it means he's got your back. So you don't need to keep reflecting on the past. Being patient begins with the idea of being present. Like that. For the mommy or the daddy, it might mean to put away the busyness of whatever it is that's distracting you from the child that's tugging and asking. And it gets on your last nerve, I know. Mommy, 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 what? And then it's like they go blank. Because they can't believe, listen, from the child's point of view, they just can't believe you finally took notice of them, perhaps. And they've never, oh, I've got both sets of eyeballs looking at me right here. They're not just looking at me going, I'm busy, wait a minute. And so like if your child finally gets both your eyeballs and both of your ears like that, sometimes they blank out. But being patient means, and especially for us, we're bigger than they are, we're louder than they are. Being patient might look like, being present might look like getting down on their level and say, what? Why, honey? And just waiting for them to work out the sentence, and it might take them longer. Get to the point. I got to get back to work. No. Be present. Are you present for your children? Are you present for your spouse, for your wife, for your husband? Are you present for your coworkers? Especially that long-winded one. The one who just, like, why are they telling me this story and what's the point? Right? How can I get away from this conversation? My son Stephen, when he was younger, he still has this tendency. He loves activity. He loves doing stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a personality trait. But here's what he would do. In the middle of having fun, he would say, Daddy, what are we going to do next? Because he wanted to make sure we had more plans for more fun after this fun activity. So that there would be a never-ending amount of fun ahead. Are you able to be fully present in the moment? This was one of the things that you would see if you read the Gospels and if you observed Jesus, that no matter what was going on around him, he was present in the moment. Right there. You could interrupt him along the way. He could be headed to Jerusalem, but he would stop and talk to you. Why? He wasn't at Jerusalem yet. He was right where he was, walking right there, fully present, fully engaged, fully available. Okay. Are you fully being patient, present? Here's number two. All these start with the letter B, bearing. Patience, the patience of Christ is about being, and it's also about bearing. Still in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, and then Paul seems to give us more insight into what kind of patience. He says, patience that bears with one another in love. With patience, bearing with one another in love. So it's the kind of patience that bears with other people. Another translation, the New Living Translation actually says this, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. So it means making allowance. Another translation says, putting up with. So here's what Paul's saying. I want you to have the kind of patience that puts up with stuff. That interrupts your plans, your comfort. I want you to put up with stuff. I want you to have the kind of patience that every little interruption doesn't cause you to get frustrated and angry and lose your patience like that. I want you to be able to put up with. And I don't want you to be so easily offended, because this kind of patience is not, it's almost unoffendable. Not so easily offended. Colossians 3:13 says this, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Bear with each other. We're all imperfect. Show some grace. Patience is about bearing with another person, about putting up with them. This one was illustrated to me very clearly last year. By the way, this coming Friday, I'm on a team that's going to Uganda for a couple of weeks. We're going back. This is the third year that we've sent a team from our church. Second year I've been able to go. And so be in prayer for that team, for Robin and I are going and going with a team of people. Looks like 12 people from our church and a couple other churches are going to Uganda to do some mission work. Last year when I went, the first leg was a 15-hour flight. That's a long, difficult flight. And so as you're getting on the plane, if you're wired like me, you're going, I wonder where we're seated, and I hope there are no weird things nearby. You know, like somebody that's going to really interrupt my comfort. Being transparent. And as we go on the plane, I find, okay, our seats, we have seats by the window. We've got that little section of three. I wonder who the third person's going to be. You start thinking like that. Okay, so it's me and Robin and some random third person. Lord, I pray, because I'm an evangelist. I love sharing my faith, so that's not an interruption to me. Like, I hope it's somebody I can talk to about Jesus, and God gave me that. But this other thing I can't say was really a godly thing. It was like, please don't let there be any little babies nearby that just cry the whole 15 hours. Just being transparent. Yeah. Okay, so like three rows up in the middle section, it's like the four seats in the middle because it's one of those two-aisle kind of big planes. And I see one of our team members. Her name's Denise. She's from a church in Raleigh, and I was just getting to know her. She was, you know, I didn't know her that well. We all knew each other really well by the time we got back, but I noticed that she was the only one from our team on that row, like three rows up. And everyone seated around her, they were people from Ethiopia, because that's where we were going. We were flying Ethiopian Airlines. And it was like three mamas with babies. Like, it was the baby row. And my first thought was, man, I'm glad it's not me. Like, thank you, Jesus, for not giving me that row. And then my next thought was, they could be loud enough from there that it could bother me. That was my second thought. Thank God for headphones. Put my headphones on. And so then, on the flight, I kept looking up there at Denise. I didn't know her yet, but I learned all I needed to know about her on that flight. These babies did not enjoy the flight. They just kept crying. They were hungry and they needed changed, and it was constant. And there was constant changing seats while somebody had to get out on the floor and change a diaper in the floor, and somebody had to mop. And by the middle of the flight, I looked up there, and Denise had moved to the aisle seat, and she had the mother that she had just met on the plane asleep on her shoulder, and she had the baby bouncing it up and down on her lap. And she looked back over her shoulder at me and smiled and pointed at the baby. And I smiled back at her. And inside I said, God, please forgive me. I'm a worm. I'm impatient. I don't bear with... Some things I can bear, but some things I don't... Those old clothes don't bear well with certain things. It's different for each of us. Every one of us has something that the old clothes, because our old clothes are impatient and want their own comfort. Like, come on, God, let me up. Don't let me be like that anymore. I want to die to that old self. I want to put on Christ's patience. Do you have patience that bears with others? Do you put up with stuff, or do you have to get your way, your comfort? Do you have to get it off your chest and tell people what your rights are? And if you're offended, do you have to get it, your rights, known? Or are you like Jesus, who when he was accused, was silent like a lamb? I'm talking about the God of the universe who created everything, who with a thought could have made the whole thing go away, Who could have, as the song that I grew up singing, could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free? I used to sing a song like that. He could have. No, he was meek and mild and patient. And he wants you to be like him. Should I go on? Can you bear with any more points? Here's the number three. Being, bearing, not boiling. Being, patience, godly patience, Christ-like patience, is about being, bearing, and not boiling. Remember macrothumia? Thumia has to do with eat, not boiling over like that. Now, I'm doing something a little different here in this text. I've unpacked the first two verses. Now I'm going to go to the last couple of verses that I read, and I will finish by getting at the middle. So now let's look towards those last few verses, 25 through 27. He says, therefore, we've put away the old self, the old falsehood, and we're speaking the truth. We're living out of truth. And then he says, verse 26, he says, be angry and don't sin. Anger is not a sin, by the way. It's an emotion. It's neutral, depending on what you do with it. But it can lead to sin. So in your anger, do not sin. Does God get angry? Absolutely. But his anger is under his control. So anger itself is not sin, but it can lead to sin. He says, so be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down in your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. So I want to focus on that now. Macrothumia has, you have a long fuse. You can put up with a lot. It takes a lot to get you angry. And when you do get angry, because there's a time that you will get angry, don't sin. Don't boil over. Be patient. Have a long burn. Have a long fuse. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to anger, but a wise person quietly holds it back. Now in the book of Proverbs, here's the clue for the book of Proverbs. If it's saying fool, it means a sinner. Fool is like synonymous with sinner. And if it says wise man, or it means righteous, one who's a God follower, because wisdom comes from God. And so anytime the Proverbs is talking like that, you could say a sinner gives full vent to their anger, but a righteous person quietly holds it back. And that would be a right understanding of that proverb. A patient person who has the fruit of the Spirit in growing amounts in their life will not give in to anger. They don't let it boil over. They have it under their control, which really is under the Spirit's control. Proverbs 29:22 says, a hot-tempered person. Notice that heat thing again. We got full vent, now we have hot-tempered. It's that opposite of macrothumia. Macrothumia, patience, means that you put up with heat. You got a long fuse, but a hot-tempered person has a short fuse. They start fights and get into all kinds of sin. They're troublemakers. A person who's impatient creates trouble everywhere they go. They change a road trip. If you've got an impatient person in the car or in the driver's seat, it makes everybody in the car miserable and possibly fear for their lives. I don't know if it's impatience in me. It could be competition. I never can decide on the road. Maybe they're mixed. Men, do you know what I'm talking about? Like you're on the road like, I got that. I'm passing you. I don't know what that is. Whatever it is, it can lead to sin and it can cause all kind of trouble. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You should have a long fuse. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Patience does not boil over. Do you know someone that you have to tiptoe around and figure out what mood they're in today because of their impatience? And their impatience often leads to frustration, which quickly leads to boiling over and then an explosive bleh. And you have to be, whoa, let's not do anything. And if you're in a family system like that, and it's your mom or dad, then the children and the spouse that has some patience, they're all tiptoeing around the house. Let's not wake the beast, right? They live in constant fear of waking the beast, whether it's mom or dad or whoever it is. And if it's in the workplace and it's your boss. I'm reading a book right now. Actually, I've been reading the book to inform my sermons, and it's a secular book, but it's based on really good stuff. It's called The Road to Character. And he does it by telling different biographical stories. And he was telling the story about Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, former supreme commander of the European theater during World War II, Ike Eisenhower. And how he was an introvert, he was a great leader, and if there was something about his character that he was aware of that he really knew he needed to improve and work on, and that he was very impatient, and he had a short fuse, and he would get angry. Man, he would get angry and just poof. And even though he was raised in a Christian home and his mother allowed no smoking, no drinking, no dancing, no card playing, no cussing, a lot of no in his house when he grew up. And he could hear his mother's voice, but when he would get angry, he would lose control of his tongue and just cuss a blue streak. He was known for this. And his assistants would put out the call when World War II was going on, and they would see him leave his room to see which uniform he was wearing. And he had a couple of different uniforms, but if he was wearing the brown uniform, they knew it was going to be a brown day. It's going to be he's ticked. He got up on, as my mom used to say, he got up on the wrong side of the bed. He's going to be frustrated today. And so they would send out the word, like, the general's wearing brown. People are like, don't make eye contact with him. He's wearing brown today. Like that. You know anybody like that? You see anybody like that when you look in the mirror? Do people have to tiptoe around you? And then, look at this. He says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. As your grandma said, don't go to bed mad. Because if you go to bed angry, you get up the next morning, you got the devil in the bed. If you're a married couple, there's two of you in the bed. When you go to bed, you get up the next morning and you got the devil laying. You got three people in the bed. He's laying in the middle. Like that. And what you went to bed with was maybe, you know, hot anger that really you could have taken care of, and all you would have been talking about is the offense. But the next morning, you've got this bitter coal thing. It's not so red hot now. It's like this smoldering. And it's got the additional effect of her thinking, if he really loved me, there's no way he could have gone to sleep with that. And then he's thinking, I can't believe she's just laying over there. And they both have this internal conversation going on, but they don't know what the other. And guess what? The person in the middle, it's called Satan. He's going, here's what she thinks. Here's what he's thinking right now. And he's whispering accusations and lies to separate, because he hates you and he hates your marriage and he wants to destroy you. He's a lion seeking whom he may devour, the scripture says. Don't let the devil in your bed. Don't give him a foothold. This is kind of like a picture like back in the day when there would be door-to-door vacuum salesmen. If you opened the door a slight little bit, like just that much, they would throw dirt through the crack so they could get in there and get their foot in the door. Like, now you can't shut the door. You got their foot in. He says, don't give the devil a foothold. What gives the devil a foothold? Unresolved anger. And then he gets in your house and makes a mess. Okay. Number four, being, right? Bearing, not boiling. And finally, becoming. We're going to work on those middle verses that we skipped over. Becoming. You take a breath right here. Okay, look. Man, Gary, you're beating the daylights out of us today. This thing's hitting me like bullseye. Good. Now, I'm going to give you some hope. Okay? First, you got to recognize you got a problem. Admitting your feelings, the beginning of healing. Have you heard that, right? You have to admit you have a problem before you can get at it. Okay, I got a patience problem. I need some. I don't have enough, or I don't have any, or I've got the wrong brand. Whatever. I need Christ's brand, right? So you've admitted. Now, here's our hope. He's at work in you if you've received him. You can put off the old self and put on the new. You can be in this process of becoming more patient. No matter what your past has been, no matter your family system, no matter your old habits, no matter your personality, you can repent, which means to change your mind and become more like Jesus. You can do it. How? Through the power of Jesus. Through yielding to the Spirit. look at verses 17 through 24. I'm just going to kind of summarize some of it. Verse 17, he contrasts the old life by saying, you shouldn't any longer walk as the Gentiles do. Stop walking the way you used to, in the futility of their minds. And then he begins to describe what that looked like. Not going into all that, but he begins to describe the old clothes. This is how you used to walk. This is how you used to live. You need to put those clothes off. And then he says, verse 20, but that's not the way you learned Christ. When you learned Christ, the gospel came to you freely, and he said, I forgive you. If you'll receive me, I'll live in you, and you'll have eternal life, and I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and that's how you receive. So put that on continually. Yield to that. Put off the old, put on the new. And then verse 22 says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and it's corrupt. In other words, it stinks. It's your dirty clothes. Quit putting those old dirty clothes on. And verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And verse 24, put on the new self. And what are these clothes like? They're created after the likeness of God. What's that mean? They're righteous clothes. They're the character traits of the family of God. The people who are part of that family exude patience. Like in the middle of a storm, they're the ones with a smile on their face going, it's going to be all right. They're the listeners. They're present in the moment. Not looking ahead, not looking behind, right here. We are becoming more patient because as we follow Jesus, we are becoming more like Him. What's God up to in your life? If you've received Jesus, He cares more about your character than He does your comfort. God, just get me out of this. God, just make me happy. He cares less about your comfort and way more about your character because He's making you a new creation that can live for eternity in the presence of God. And He's teaching you to put off the old impatient ways and to put on the patience of Jesus. Paul in the book of Romans offers this benediction, this prayer. He says, may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ Jesus toward the other. In other words, may God Himself give you this patience so you can live according to it. So you can be like Jesus. He wants you to have this. You don't have to leave here impatient and beat up. He wants you not only to change, He wants to hold up the mirror of God's Word because the Bible says God's Word is a mirror. He wants you to look and go, wow, I'm not patient. But He's not going to leave you there. Like, then He's going to say, now here's how to change. Receive Jesus, trust Him, and depend on Him. Like that. And then when impatience hits you, learn to put it off. Go, wait a minute. I'm getting frustrated right here because I'm tired of this child doing this. Or I'm tired of this traffic problem. Or I'm tired. Whatever it is that's interrupting my comfort, because I am the God of my universe, and my comfort matters ultimately more than anyone else's. Boy, when I say that out loud, boy, that sounds like sin, doesn't it? Let's not say that out loud. Let's just be that way and ignore it. No, let's say it out loud, and then let's repent of it and name it what it is: idolatry, sin, putting ourselves in the place of God. And then let's say, I'm putting that off. I'm putting those stinking clothes off. And I'm becoming like Jesus. Not through effort, but through yieldedness. I'm reconnecting to the vine. If I pulled away for a second and I was living according to my own flesh, man, I'm putting that off. Make me patient. Now, there's something amazing. I hope this happens to you this week. I wish this upon you. This is a blessing, not a curse. That you had a week like I had in the sense of an awareness of what I was talking about this coming Sunday, this which is today, and all week long going, okay, let me practice this. Like, I need to be patient today. And then I would think of places that I was headed towards that normally frustrate me and thinking in advance, okay, before I even get there, I'm putting off the possibility of impatience and I'm putting on patience like that. And you know what? It works. It works. Trust me. Type A here, leadership guy, in a hurry everywhere he goes, always about the destination, never about the journey. That's my personality type. It's my old clothes. I don't have to keep being that way. I can be like Jesus. How? By letting Jesus live in me and abide in him and trusting him. And so this past Tuesday night, I took my wife out to eat, celebrating 36 years. Amen? 36 years. June 2nd, 1979, till this year, 36 years of marriage. There had to be some patience in there somewhere, right? Probably mostly hers, and I'm being honest, to put up with me. But we're there. And so I'm at this restaurant, and do you do this like, okay, there's a certain amount of time where the bread needs to land on the table. Then there's a certain amount of time when the drink should be here. And she should be back at a certain amount of time to take the order. And I'm pleasant, and I'm with my wife, and it's our anniversary. But if it goes past like whatever my boundary is, then this thing starts happening like a twitch in my eye. And so, but I'm preaching this sermon this coming Sunday. So before I even went to the restaurant, I was like, I'm putting on Jesus clothes. I'm taking off Gary clothes and I'm putting on Jesus clothes. For the sake of my wife, for the sake of whatever poor waiter or waitress that's going to be tending to me. Because I'm like, I used to be a district manager in retail for 12 years before I became a pastor. So I evaluate everything. I'm like, this is customer service. That's bad. This is good. I like cut all that stuff off. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm putting on Jesus clothes. And so this poor little waitress took, she went past my boundaries, like the whole night. But guess what? Because I was putting on Jesus' clothes, I heard her. I saw her. Her name was Yasmin. And I said, why is it with a Y instead of a J? Because in my mind I was thinking Arabic background, possibly. And she dropped her eyes and said, because I'm from Palestine. And I said, wow, have you ever been to Palestine? And she said, no. I said, how about your parents? She goes, they were born there. I said, you've never been? I said, Rob and I spent a month there a couple of summers ago. I love the Palestinians. I said, are you Muslim or Christian? And she goes, Muslim? But I married a Christian. And I said, that's a story, I bet. And we started talking. And she was late for all of our food the whole evening at my anniversary dinner. And I hope you'll pray for Yasmin, because we talked, we got up to the point of the gospel and we moved along. We didn't close, you know, she didn't pray. But I told her, I said, Yasmin, I want you to know something. I rode a bus into Palestine so I could experience what it was like to be a Palestinian. And I rode the public busing system with a missionary there. And I want you to know I love the Palestinians and I love Muslims because Jesus does. And she got tears in her eyes and she said, no one's ever said that to me before. I said, I hope you get to go to Palestine sometime. And I hope you can see the Christians that are there too in Palestine and the Muslims. And I hope you can know the Jesus I'm talking about. And so my wife leans over. And we're reading this book called Any Three that talks about how you can witness to someone anytime, any place, you know, anywhere or something. I can't remember the title, but she goes, you're doing Any Three, aren't you? And I said, and she says, this is fun. On our anniversary, when everything was supposed to be perfect. And it was. Because we put on Jesus' clothes instead of counting the time of the waitress's arrival and instead bearing with her. I'm not bragging on me. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm bragging on Jesus because the normal Gary, the Gary clothes Gary, would have responded differently. In 2 Peter, and I'll close with this, I'm talking about Peter, who as a young disciple was one of the most impatient of the disciples. As a younger disciple, he's the one who interrupted Jesus and rebuked the Lord. He's the one who cut off the ear of the one who came to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's the one who said, let's just go fishing. I don't know where Jesus is. That disciple. As an older man who had grown and had become more like Jesus said, you must not forget, dear friends, that a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise to return, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to perish. So he's given more time for everyone to repent. The Lord is patient. Will you repent? He's waiting. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you died for us on the cross, paying the price, the penalty for our sin. We believe that you died on the cross for me, that you rose from the grave, that you live today. Lord, we want you to live in us, forgiving us of our sins, giving us eternal life. And even more than that, give us your Holy Spirit so that we can become like you, being patient, bearing with one another, not bowling over in anger, not being frustrated, but becoming more like you. May it be so, Lord. May we be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we want to take some time now and respond to God's word. The book of James tells us that we should not just be hearers of the word, but we should also be doers of the word. That if we come and just hear and don't obey, then it's like looking in a mirror and looking away and forgetting what you saw. And so we want to take some time now. This is part of the service where we take time and ask the Holy Spirit to cement in our hearts what we've heard so that we can also do it. And so one of the ways we give you to do that is the connection card. It's attached to your bulletin. And you can fill that out and you can put on there if you've got prayer concerns. Maybe there's something that God has revealed to you that you want to commit to him in prayer. We've got a team of people that pray over those connection cards each week. So we'd love for you to respond in that way. You can just fill that out and drop it in the connection, drop your connection card in the offering bucket as it comes by. If it's your first time here with us today, we're really glad you're here. You're the VIP this morning, as Pastor Stephen said earlier. And you can fill out your connection card and just indicate there that it's your first time and drop that in the offering bucket as it comes by, or take it out to the VIP tent that you saw when you came in. They've got a gift just to say thank you for being here. We're really honored that you would choose to spend your Sunday morning with us. Or maybe you prayed with Pastor Gary to give him your life for the first time, to give Christ your life, to receive him. Because none of this, the fruit of the Spirit doesn't come by working. It comes by receiving. And so if you prayed to receive Christ this morning for the first time, we'd really encourage you to indicate that on your connection card. There's a box on the back there that says, I prayed to receive Christ today. And you can put that in the offering bucket as it comes by, or you can take it out to the VIP tent, because they've got a packet of information that that can help you as you take your first steps in your relationship with Christ. But I invite all of us this morning, as the band plays and we're singing, pray and ask God how you should respond to his word this morning.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Hold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting. Yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. My soul is pleading in my dismay. You hold my future firm in your hand. surrender, trusting your plan. Hallelujah, your will be done. Hallelujah, your will be done in me. Here is my life, completely yours. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
I invite you to stand to your feet right now. We're going to take this time to give back to God with our tithes and our offerings. We're going to continue to worship Him together in song.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, oh power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me. Savior divine. Hallelujah, your will be done. Hallelujah, your will be done in me. Here is my life, completely yours. Thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. For your will, O Lord, is perfect, so I trust your hand. When the darkest day surrounds me, I find hope in your plan. For your love is everlasting, and it casts out fear. And your grace, oh God, has saved me, so my future is clear. For my eyes have seen your glory, and I am undone. As all earthly care has faded in the light of the sun, so with everything that's in me, teach my soul to say, have thine own way, have thine own way.
Slides. I just want to make a quick announcement before we close today. I'm thankful for a church of people that are patient people, and I know that comes from the Lord. We're a church that's willing to try things. I don't know if y'all have noticed that. We're kind of like a great big laboratory experiment here, and sometimes things work, and sometimes they don't. And we've created a culture here, I think, that comes from the Holy Spirit that allows us to try things. And if they don't work, we say, let's try something else. And we have the liberty to do that here. I hope you enjoy being part of a community like that, a non-judgmental community that can try things. Now, here's something we've been trying for the past 8 months. 3 services. We've been trying it since the first Sunday in October. And the goal we set was to make room for the children's ministry. This room has 214 seats, and we were okay in here with 2 services, but we needed room in the children's ministry. But the net result has been, overall, we were not able to hit our objectives for those 3 services. It took a lot of effort to do, but we're just being good leaders and looking at it and going, let's try something else, okay? So keep being patient, because here's the one constant around here. Everything changes. We keep trying stuff because we're following Jesus, and he keeps going off road, and so we follow him. And so starting next Sunday, we're going back to 2 services, going back to the old times, 9:30 and 11. So those are the 2 service times starting next Sunday. Now, if you're a worker in any of our ministries that serve on Sunday morning, don't panic. Someone will contact you and tell you, and not just tell you, but will work with you on which service time you're scheduled to work. So don't panic. We've been working on it. We've got plans. You'll be fully informed starting next Sunday. Now, Stephen, I regret. Stephen's preaching next Sunday. I'll be in Uganda. I regret he didn't get to experience the 3 service preaching opportunity. If there would have been any way possible that we could have kept it for 1 more Sunday just for that, I would have been all for it. But all joking aside, thanks for being the kind of church that has that patience, that long-suffering, to be part of a church that's trying to reach people. And to be willing to do whatever it takes to do that. Amen? Now may you know the love, joy, and peace, and especially the patience of Jesus as you abide in him this week. In Jesus' name, amen.